Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
All right, so we are on a new series. How many have a chance to see the video? Did anybody see the video on Facebook? Oh, very few. You should go. That's interesting. There's like 300 views and there's only like three hands in here. So other people are thankfully viewing it. If you did not see, we're starting a new series called Sacred Design. And it's a series I'm really excited about. There's a lot of series. I think I get excited about every series, but there's a couple that come to mind. And this one is somewhat similar to it, but in a different way. Who is here for the Rhythms of Grace series that I did a couple years back? Rhythms of Grace, raise your hand. Sabbath, rest, all that. This is a little bit, but not. There's a lot more to it. Sacred Design. Did you know, I want to ask you this question, did you know that you can have one thing in nature that can alter nature? One thing that can change nature. Did you know that? I'm sure you did. There's probably examples that you can think of. I want to show you a few. So this is a Yellowstone wolf. How many knew that? Nobody did. It's a wolf. Yellowstone wolf. In the early 1900s, late 1800s, Yellowstone wolf was a nuisance for those that were settling in this area, you know, farming and doing different things. It's a predator. So they had free rein. They thought, you know what, this is a predator. We need to get rid of the Yellowstone wolf. And so there was no laws against it. They could kill as many as they wanted to. So they almost, or they did actually kill off all the Yellowstone wolf. So it's interesting that solves a problem. It's now safer. It's easier. People don't have to worry about their livestock being killed. So here's what's interesting. This is the top of the chain. This is a predator. And what began to happen is when they killed off the Yellowstone wolf, the elk began to populate like crazy. The wolves kept the elk in check. And when the wolves were gone, the elk just populated. No big deal. Until many years later, they began to realize, I won't show you the picture yet, what was happening where the wolves would be by the streams, the wolves were no longer there, so the elk came by the streams, no big deal. The elk decided to eat all the vegetation around the streams. So what began to happen is there were no trees growing anymore along the streams, which changed the water pattern, which changed the erosion pattern, which caused a whole slew of problems. I'll show you, this is a picture. In 2005, this is what it looked like. And they began to, even earlier than that, began to reintroduce wolves back into the population. And now you can see the vegetation because the wolves are back in there. Isn't that interesting? One thing began to change all the other things. Now, that's not close to home. How many know what that is? Zebra mussels. How many have ever stepped on a zebra mussel? They are sharp. Man, they are sharp. You know, zebra mussels are very small. Like you could tell that's a shell and a zebra mussel. You might not have even seen them. But zebra mussels came through the hull water of ships coming across, not thinking they would deposit their water into our lakes. And without knowing it, some of them had zebra mussels because they are not native here. And they let them go into our lakes. Not a bad problem at first. How many know what zebra mussels do in a good way? Clean the water. Our water is actually cleaner now than it used to be. I love it when people say the world is getting worse. There's a book out there that documents all the things that have gotten better in the last 30 years. Our waters alone have gotten so much cleaner. In Toronto, if you would have looked at Erie and Ontario, the lakes were so dirty. Now, part of that is introduction of zebra mussels. Now, here's what they didn't know, maybe you didn't know. One thing about zebra mussels is that they only feed on certain algae and they don't like other algae. The other algae that they don't like is the toxic algae. It would have been nice if they liked the toxic algae, but they feed on the good algae, they leave the toxic algae that begins to kill other plant life, causes a slew of problems. This is another one. Those are water pipes. And zebra mussels have been blocking these water pipes. And so there's a, and I could show you so many more examples of how this has drastically changed life in this area. We're going to do a little bit of a deep science dive, not a deep science dive. We're just going to talk a little science. This message comes out of a desire. Let me do it this way. Oh, one last thing I forgot to share. Anybody know what this is? Well, thank you. That's easy. Anybody know what dam this is? No. Talk about changing things. I just want to throw this up because this is fascinating. This is in China. Who said China? Oh, good job. Good job. This is in China. It is the largest bridge, I believe, or dam in the world. Longest to be built dam in the world. But here's what's crazy. When this dam was built, it collected so much water that it shifted the earth rotation. Our days are actually shorter by I don't know how many milliseconds they've calculated. Interesting. Did you also know that the tsunami changed the earth rotation? That the Japanese earthquake changed our earth rotation? These are all microscopic things that we wouldn't see. But at the same time, just hypothetically, it's interesting that anybody notice that our Septembers are becoming more and more glorious? Like it's not like once in a while. I find like our Septembers and now even part of October are really beautiful. And sometimes our March, Aprils, and Mays are not as nice. See, you just wonder. I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theory or anything. I'm just wondering sometimes how much this is affecting our patterns and we don't even realize it. So the topic I have here is sacred design. The goal I want to do in the next few weeks is my hypothesis that I want to present to you is that I believe God has a sacred design for us. And I want to try to prove that to you even today of how he created the world. But he has a sacred design, and that when we step out of that sacred design, we open ourselves up to all types of things that we don't want in our life. Have you ever wondered sometimes where you can't figure out why your life seems to be out of whack? There's something that just seems to be just like, maybe it's your energy level, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your sleep patterns, and you just cannot figure out what is going on. Well, I believe to an extent, obviously there's other factors, but I believe that God has a sacred design that we as people constantly try to challenge and often pay the price for it. And what if we could get back to a closer design that God called us to? Would it possibly bring and be God's blueprint for wholeness? The way I describe it, the video I showed you that everybody watched. The video, I went to Sadler's Pond, and Sadler's Pond is a beautiful ecosystem. It's amazing that right in the middle of Essex that you have this pond and it's full of life and frogs and insects and all the different things. Squirrels are around. I love it. When I have a chance, I love to just go walk down there. And you can see there's ducks, geese, and I called it a swan in the video. I was not trying to call the duck a swan, but I said swan, and then the only picture I had was a duck. So if you watch it, don't comment, please. But it's interesting that you could see the beauty of nature. But what would happen if a company decided to put a pipe into that pond to get rid of their waste? It doesn't matter how much you try to feed those geese, ducks, swans, frogs. It doesn't matter what you do. If you are putting toxic waste into that pond, eventually that pond is going to die. And so often in life, we are trying to fix things. And one of the things that I heard, this is fascinating, a person that was preaching talked about how he had two friends that had cancer. Both friends were miraculously healed. Like doctor verified cancer gone. 3 years had cancer again and died. What? That's exactly it. And as this man prayed about it, one of the things he felt was that the very thing that caused the cancer, after they were healed, never changed the ecosystem of their life, which continued to cause the cancer to come back. Interesting thought. So my question is there an ecosystem in our life? And an ecosystem really means we're all interconnected, and we will get to that. But I want to show you this first. Can you read that? Is it a little hard? Or are we good? This is a scripture verse that I have many that I've come to realize. I always say this is one of my favorites. This really is one of my favorites. And the version, if you read it, this is the Message version. It says, are you tired and worn out, burned out on religion? So just those first few words, are you worn out, burned out? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't let anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. How many want that? But how many know that it takes sometimes changing things in our life to get to that place? And one of the first things I think we can all see is that we need to keep company with the sun, right? It's like a lot of times we want, have you ever wanted something that somebody else has, but we're not willing to do what they do to get what they have? Come on, all of us. That's called the Instagram world. You know, people sacrifice to get places and we want it because they have it, but we're not willing to do what they have. It's like, you know, fitness. I would love to be in better shape and I'm always on a journey to try to get in better shape and it is a journey. But sometimes I look at people that are really fit at my age and I would love to have what they have, but I'm not always willing to wake up at 5:30 to get up to get what they have, right? So it's just called jealousy, envy. I'm not willing to put in the work. And then sometimes we get into these weird ecosystems where we sometimes mock them because we don't want to value them. That's a whole nother thing. But we can have unforced rhythms of grace. And I want to let you know, I would say it's a sacred design that God has put in place from the beginning of time that we often veer from. I can give you so many examples of, if you ever looked at a family and you're like, man, I love their life, but you don't want to do what they do or sacrifice that they've made, or people that have financial freedom and you don't want to do what they, there are so many things that we can look at and will look at to get there. The definition of an ecosystem, and I really want you to get this today. If I stand here, can you guys see? Are you all right? An ecosystem is, it's a system, obviously, or a group of interconnected elements formed by the interaction of a community of organisms within their environment. Let me give you an example of that. We, as a body of Christ, are an ecosystem. We are interconnected and we're formed by an interaction of community. Did you know, and part of this goes back to worship, when you come in and add your worship, it changes the atmosphere and we're all connected to it. And the opposite is true. When you come in and pull back, it can affect the atmosphere as well. What I'm trying to do is grow us in the place when we all come and worship together. It not only changes this atmosphere, it changes this atmosphere. And if we leave the building, it changes the atmosphere wherever we go. And it takes a sacrifice sometimes to raise our hands and say, Lord, I'm going to worship you right where I'm at. So I'm going to talk about the ecosystem in our life. I'm also at times going to talk about the ecosystem in our lives. And you'll begin to see that we are being affected by everything that we interact with. One more thing, I like this, interaction, the word, it means a reciprocal action, effect, or influence. That word reciprocal means it's back and forth, right? So we felt that today. I don't know if you felt that today, but when you began to worship more on the platform, we could feel and begin to worship more. And I'll tell you, you have no idea what it's like when you don't worship, but we're trying to worship, it is hard. It is really hard. So the days when you come in and people are ready to worship, I'm like, this is so beautiful. It's reciprocal. It's like when the room, when somebody sings louder, you sing louder, they sing louder, we all sing louder. It's beautiful. Okay, you tracking with me. I go to my phone because I can see all my slides on my phone. Okay, we're gonna do a deep dive. How many brought their Bibles? I put that on Facebook. You got to bring your Bibles. Bring your Bibles. I know you can go on your phone, but if you can bring your Bible and mark it up and write things, that'd be awesome. But go to your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Genesis. As you're turning there, I want to read one scripture that we're not going to turn to, but I just want to have you listen. This is the Passion Translation, but talk about a sacred design. This is the seventh day, okay? We're going to look at creation, and I'm going to show you something that I've never seen before. You probably have, but I never did. But this is the end result after all that God's about to do. It says, by the seventh day, God completed creating his masterpiece. This is the Passion Translation. I love it. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. God blessed the seventh day and made it sacred because on it, he paused to rest from all his work of creation. I love that. He created his masterpiece. He called it sacred and took a rest. You know what? That is the first thing that as a people we have lost. People don't know how to rest anymore. People sometimes stop, but they don't rest. I'll get into that another day, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. Genesis 1, right from the beginning. If you've ever studied ecosystems, did you know that there is a hierarchy of an ecosystem, right? So when you look at an ecosystem, we'll start at the lowest rung. In the ecosystem, you have, they're called primary, I want to get the word right. They're called primary producers. Primary producers are plants, mostly, that take the sun, make photosynthesis, and life begins to happen. Now, I'm going to get into this in another day, but if you just take the fact that when we disconnect from the sun, S-O-N, we stop producing life. Man, I find it fascinating when I research this, how much there is a parallel. And honestly, when you look at it, it is a brilliant design that to me makes me go, how can you not believe in a God? Like, it is so intricate. They did an experiment called the Biodome 2. Anybody hear of Biodome 2? It's incredible. They tried to recreate Earth in an enclosed structure. And they said, first of all, it was a complete failure. You should look it up. I can't go into it, but it's very interesting. Interdynamics. They locked people in for 2 years and it got interesting. It could make a good movie or a reality show. But they said as close and as much as they've studied, they still cannot reproduce how the earth works. They have never been able to do that because it is so complex, the ecosystem. So when you're looking at this, I want you to realize that there's these levels of this ecosystem. And every level, if you touch one thing, it'll affect all the others. So the ecosystem has these primary things that take in the sunlight. Then you have insects that eat the primary. And then you have animals that eat the insects, and then you have other animals that eat those animals, and so on and so forth, till you get the top predatory that don't usually get eaten because they're like the lions and the ones that just, they rule. But then things die, decompose, and they go into the ground, and then the plants begin to grow from those that take the sunlight, and you see this circular pattern, right? Following me. You're like, what does this have to do with anything? Genesis 1. I want you to follow along. It says, in the beginning. So first of all, I want you to get this. Nothing is done by God without mistake. And what I've never looked at is, you just read it and you think, oh, he's just creating everything. But what I want you to realize is he created everything in order, the way it had to be created, because anything out of order would have caused chaos. And things would have died before they ever could live. There's no mistake in how he did things. Number one, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is hovering over absolute chaos. And then it says, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening, the morning were the first day. Just to throw a weird thing at you, did you know that light and darkness is not talking about light and darkness at this point? You know why? There was no moon and sun created yet. Ponder that for a while. Because God is separating, I believe, good and evil, light and darkness, day and night. Then God said, let there be light. We read that. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters. Then God made the first firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And so it was. So basically God's separating water now. Now there's water down below, which we call oceans. It's covering the whole earth at this point. And there's a firmament, clouds above. Okay, not a big one in that one. I'm sure there is, but I don't know what it is. God called the firmament heaven. So evening and the morning were the second day. Now this is where it gets interesting. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place and let the dry land appear. And so it was. God called the dry land earth and he gathered together of the waters. He called seas and God saw that it was good. So he's just created oceans and he's created land. He's just got prepared a world that can sustain life. You can't have animals before there's ground. There's a system that he has in place, all right? And what I want you to understand that this is a system. It's a sacred design. You step out of that system, it's going to cause chaos. So let's say he did day four on day two, and he decided to create all the land animals before there was land. Right? Now you're like, of course. I keep going back to a sacred design. That if you step out of that design, you cause chaos. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth. Now this is what's cool. This is the smallest, tiniest start of the ecosystem. If you're looking at the hierarchy, he didn't go predators down to seed. He went seed up to predators, not by chance. This was the sacred design. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs, that let it yield seeds and the fruit trees in itself on the earth. And so it was. And the second, and the seed according to, oh, let me try again here. Fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself, meaning it can reproduce on the earth. And so it was. And the seed, and the earth brought forth grass and the herb that yields seed according to its kind and the tree that yields fruit and whose seed is in itself according to its kind. It's a lot of wording. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So basically what he did here, primary producers, he creates grasses, trees, seed-bearing plants that will now reproduce. I'm not going to go through it. We can go along just because of time. He goes through and he begins to create the seeds. And then he creates the birds and those in the water. And the birds are the next that eat the seeds. And then he creates the ground things that eat the seeds, that eat the birds. And then he creates the predators. And then he creates man. What I wanted you to see in all this that I don't have time to completely go through is, again, a sacred design that he did not veer from. Because it's an ecosystem of life. You change that ecosystem, zebra mussels, lions, or wolves, and you change the whole pattern of life. You following me? Kind of. All right, good. Go with me now. This is the important stuff. Go with me to Genesis 1:26. Genesis 1:26 says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the creeping things that creep on the earth. And it says, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. I have here verse 126 says, God creates man. Number two, God creates a purpose for man. One of the things I wanted to let you know, if you didn't know this, is right now, there's this incredible problem that's happening among young men. One, testosterone has dropped incredibly in young men. And I won't go into all the reasons behind that, but testosterone has dropped. Number two, a lot of young men have lost all purpose for life. Video games is not a purpose. Sacred design is what I'm trying to get at. And he gives God, God gives man a purpose. And when these things begin to happen and you step out of only doing the fun things and you don't have a purpose in life, you have already stepped out of the ecosystem that God created for you. I want to propose to you that there's an enemy that's trying to continually get us out of the sacred design that God has created for us. Because what they're finding is this is wreaking havoc. I can tell you probably five stories in the last month that I've heard of men that literally sit at home and don't have a job and don't do anything but play video games in their 20s and beyond. And one of the things I want to get at in this whole topic as we talk about it, so we can look and go, oh, look at these people. They're being so stupid and lazy, blah, blah, blah. And I said this the other day, and I don't know if anybody struggled with it, but the church is often like, oh, look at them sinners. What I want to do in this series is try to go, what is out of whack in this ecosystem? Because a lot of times there's something at the root, but we want to talk about the sin. We want to talk about the person, but we need to get to what's at the root in our life. Because I don't know about you, but most of the time I don't wake up and I go, today I just want to sin all day long. Right? Now, there are some people that, well, most of those people don't even think it's a sin. But there are very few people that I know of that know it's a sin and just want to go and do it all day long. So when I meet with people, and I'm thankful for that, because when God gave me that understanding and gave me grace, I wanted to listen deeper into people's lives to go, what is underneath that in that ecosystem that's causing this result? Now, it's still sin. Don't get me wrong. Repentance is still needed. But what we often want to do is we want to just look at the fruit instead of going to the tree and going, what is going on with this ecosystem? So when we hear this about young men, my question is, what is going on in their ecosystem? What is happening in the world today that takes men that are supposed to be producers, women as well, I'm just talking about in this analogy, what is going on in the system that takes men that should actually be excited to produce, that they get done something and they go, look what I did. But instead, they're at home looking at a screen, trying to get validation from something that they're playing. But God never created that. He created us to be fruitful and to produce. The greatest joy should be when we get done our day and we go, I was productive today. I was productive. I did something. And I'll tell you, we have jobs today that can make that very, very difficult. You know, there was a day, I'm gonna go a little longer today. There was a day when they built Ford factory and they built cars and the team together built a car. And another team was building a car. And when they got done building that car, they stepped back and they went, woo, we built a car. Well, it all changed with the automation, the factories, the line, where now people put on a piece. And I'm sure that they figure out at some point what that piece is to that car, but they put on one piece and usually never see that car drive off the line. And so they're left with, I did something today. I created a paycheck, but I'm not sure what I did today. If you go back and you look, the depression that occurred after they started the assembly line was incredible. Why? Because people stopped seeing what they were producing. Sacred design says God gives man a purpose. Turn to Genesis 2:15, please. Can you open that for me, please? This is not necessarily new stuff, thank you. This comes from a heart's desire where I look at my own life and I know that there are things out of whack in my life. And I'm like, Lord, I want to find a place where I'm walking in the rhythms of grace, your sacred design. Now, we'll never be perfect until the day we die and get to perfection. We are righteous, but how many know we can be righteous and still be making some foolish errors? Genesis 2, verse 15 says, then the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. We've looked at this many times. This is what he calls us to give. He gives us responsibility. He calls us to be producers, and then he gives us responsibility. And he says, listen, I'm putting you, and by the way, we just looked at the garden was an incredibly perfect ecosystem. He puts him in the ecosystem, and he says, listen, I made this for you, but you now have a responsibility. I want you to guard it. I want you to keep things out of it, and I want you to cultivate it. I want you to garden it. I want you to be a part of the process. So what I want you to get as we open this series is that we play a part in this. A lot of times people are like, I don't know what's going on with my life. Just things happen. Maybe some things happen, but a lot of times if you look at somebody's life, they may not be tending and keeping their garden. They may not even know how to tend and keep their garden. They may never have been raised to have the tools to tend and to keep their garden. You following me? And then Genesis 2:16 says this. And then the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. I find it interesting that God creates perfection and then he puts a choice in front of us. You ever thought about that? Like, why didn't God just take the tree and put it outside of the garden? Like, that would have made so much more sense. What do we do with kids? We take everything out of their reach. Right? We put plugs in the thing, in the sockets. We put little locks on doors. We try to make everything safe. And how many know that they still find that choice? Right? They just know how to find things. I think from the very moment God created mankind to worship him, he did not want us to be forced. He did not want us to be robots. He wanted us to have a choice before us. Because I think that gives people power. It gives people the ability to feel like they are making a difference. They are making wise choices. And I think today we've done so many things that we've lost that ability. But I just marvel at the fact that he lets us make choices. And as a pastor, I can't tell you how many times I have people that come to a line for prayer, and they want their sacred design to be put back in place without making choices to get that sacred design back in place, right? Like, I could tell you all, I've told you many times how much I do value exercise, but how many know if I continually, and I've not done so well, if I continually eat Doritos every day, right? And I enter that into my ecosystem through a choice that I make, it goes against the very thing that I'm trying to create. But don't we do that all day long? I can't stand how I'm getting bigger and all, and you're eating junk food, right? And trust me, I am looking at my life, so if I give you examples, do not think I think I'm all that. I'm looking at my life going, man, I have values that I think I have. They may be intellectual values, but they are not core values. I'm going to talk about that probably next week. It's so easy to have, no, that'll be another week. I got another thing next week. It's so easy to have things that we say intellectually that are not actually core values. Like, just to give you an example, I trust God. How many know, Karen was touching on it, you can intellectually think that until you lose your job. And then all of a sudden you find out, do I actually trust God? So just to finish this off, God creates choice, God creates responsibility. God, I didn't have this on here, I don't believe. God gave us purpose by asking us to co-labor with him and giving us responsibility by designing a life where our choices matter. And we'll learn, not today, but in Genesis 3, that he asks us to guard and keep things out of our life. So in our ecosystems, we can allow pollution in. We can also allow, and there's so many people that go, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. We'll stop working 7 days a week. It's pretty simple. Well, I can't stop working. I need to, why do you need to work? Why do you need to work 7 days? Now, there are some people that end up in a place where they have to work 7 days a week. Well, then we can go, how did you get into that place? See, ecosystems. But sometimes people are working 7 days a week because they don't know how to stop. I just gotta work. I've gone through seasons where I didn't know how to stop. And literally, when I stopped, my body didn't know what to do. Anybody ever try to do a body scan? Where you sit for 5 minutes and rest chair or ground, and you try to just let your body relax? For most of society today, they cannot do it. They either can't feel their body or they can't stop moving. More common, their mind just goes 1,000 miles a minute. I want you to understand three things today. If you can remember this throughout the lessons, if you want to write three things down, I would do this. Whatever we cultivate dominates. You cultivate something over and over again, I promise you it'll dominate over and over again. Whatever you are feeding in your system, it will dominate. What you grow, it will eventually produce. In your ecosystem, it may not take effect, and we're gonna look at something just to close in a minute, but whatever you are producing in your ecosystem, eventually it's gonna produce fruit. And whatever you allow in, you allow access. Because in Genesis 3, God gave them the authority to keep things out, and we find a serpent in the garden. And how many know that we have serpents in our ecosystems at times? Sometimes we allow, it used to be called the cooler, I think the water cooler talk, you know, people used to go around the water cooler. If you are around toxic conversations all day long, and you choose to be in that, and you even participate in it, it's gonna be pretty hard for you to bear fruit of joy and grace for people. If you hear their garbage all day long, so if Krista, she does not do this at all, but let's say that Krista was the type to gossip, and every day she came home from her job and she told me all the negative things that all her staff did, I promise you the next day I walk into that building, I do not look at those people the same way. It's poisoned your ecosystem towards people. So this is a sacred design. I'm trying to have us go, let's look at our life and find out what have we entered into our life? What have we allowed? What are we producing? What are we cultivating? Just to close for time's sake. The things that we allow in, the things that we toil on, the things that we allow to consume us, the things that we focus on will eventually dominate us. These can be good or bad, life-giving or destructive, but this is what I wanted to show you. Anybody know what these are? You've probably heard this story before. Chinese bamboo tree. Super interesting thing. Because a lot of times, you know, if I talk to young people, they'll be like, it's not harming me. It's like, literally, I've been doing this for like 6 months and it's not harming me. Or it doesn't seem to be that important. I appreciate what you're saying, but it's not that important. Well, the Chinese bamboo tree especially is interesting and gives us the perfect analogy. A bamboo seed is a hard seed that's planted. And it's interesting that when you plant it for the first 5 years, it shows nothing, not even growth. What's super interesting about this bamboo is for that 5 years, it's breaking out of its shell and it's building an incredible root system that is going to get ready to, and I want to give you the right stats, it is going to blossom. And you gotta check this out because I think this is incredible. I was hoping to have that in a slide format. All right, Jesus, where did I put it? I can't tell you exactly. You're gonna have to look it up. You have homework. It grows, gosh. Look it up for me really quick, how quickly it grows. They say you can literally sit and watch a bamboo tree grow. Yes. And it grows something like 80 feet in a week or something ridiculous. It's just crazy what it does. I could be off on that. Look it up for me. Somebody give me the stats. 35 inches a day. That's more than an inch an hour. That's why they say if you watch it, you can watch it grow. Nobody has the patience to sit there for an hour, but if you did, it's like watching paint dry. Here's the point. So often in our sacred design that we think we're letting things in that are not affecting us. Bag of chips, for example. I eat a bag of chips a day. I may not see any results for weeks, years. At my age, I see results almost daily. But when I was younger, because I did, I loved Doritos. It's like my nemesis, my kryptonite. And I would eat bags and it was fine. But it's interesting that if you do that for a long period of time, eventually that bamboo tree is going to show root. And then it's gonna grow faster than you can handle. So we'll often go, well, you know, I don't spend any time with God. I don't pray. It's not really affecting my life until it is affecting your life. I read the Bible. I don't really understand it. You know, I used to, and I used to seem to be a spiritual thing, but, you know, I haven't read it for a long time until all of a sudden it starts showing fruit in your life. You know, my wife and I, I'm hypothetically, okay? We're so busy, we rarely ever have time for each other. But, you know, once in a while we sit down and have coffee together. And that may be great for years, but eventually it won't be. Everything eventually bears fruit. It's really ironic that in the last few 2 weeks, I've heard of two couples that have gotten divorced after 27 years of marriage. 27 years of marriage. And what I'll tell you is this, it didn't happen one night. There was an ecosystem that was being produced that eventually had fruit that ended there. So my hope in this series as we go through is to help you take time to go, where in my ecosystem have I allowed, have I done excess in or allowed in that is causing me, that it's going to get ready to potentially cause me to have potential catastrophic events. Krista and I, you know, get to travel. We're grateful for that. But see, we made a choice in our 20s to not go out to eat. We made a choice to not go to Tim Hortons. We made a choice to, do you remember the day when you go to McDonald's and you could feed five people for $25? We'd had the meal and, you know, that was our outing. Like, woohoo, we're going to McDonald's for the junk food. But we made these choices that would allow us in the future to do things that we get to do now. And I'm so grateful that that ecosystem came from my parents and her parents that taught us this. And you know, I always go back to Isaiah 58:12. Those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. My heart's desire is while I'm still alive, can we rebuild some of the things that are the sacred design of God for our lives? So that our lives begin to have balance. So we begin to have time with our family and rest in our bodies and finances that are prospering and a prayer life because we have time and we're reading the word and things begin to balance out. Is it possible? And then is it possible that a church can walk in that and have people that walk in and they begin to take on the rhythms of grace that bring healing to their life? Because what I don't want to see is that we pray for something and people think, well, I'm instantaneously healed. Yes, but if you don't go and change the ecosystem that caused that problem, you're going to end back up here in the same position asking for prayer. Amen. Why don't you stand? I think in those two analogies that I started with, it's super interesting that the zebra mussels are something that was added into an ecosystem that has completely changed it. Satan was allowed into the garden that completely changed mankind. Sometimes we take things out of the ecosystem that we think it's not going to affect us, only to find out later on it drastically affected us. So let's go on a journey. Amen. So Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you just to be able to come and worship. Lord, as we go through this series, would you begin to highlight in our life things that might be off, things in our ecosystem that we might need to really look at and tweak. Lord, I pray that you give us the grace to take time to stop and look. Because Lord, everyone in this room wants to walk in abundance. We want to walk in peace. We want to walk in happy marriages. We want to walk with our children. And Lord, we want ecosystems in our life that will create these things. And so Lord, we even start by acknowledging that it's the S-O-N, just like the plants that need the sun, we are people that need the sun. And Lord, I pray that John 15, that we would attach ourselves to the vine. This week, even as we take time to contemplate, Lord, would you help us to pull out a journal, help us to start to take notes and look at our life. We say, help Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.